Okay, good evening. We're starting the topic of Shehiyah. Now, last week, just to differentiate between the topics, the previous weeks, we discussed the various different aspects to Bishul, to the Melacha of Bishul, which is one of the Lamates. Avos Melacha is one of the 39 forbidden activities on Shabbos. And that's cooking. So what we're discussing was a real issue of preparing food on Shabbos, which would violate one of the Yisurim Midaraisa, one of the biblical prohibitions of Shabbos. What we're going to discuss over here is Shehiyah, which literally means to leave or to wait. What it refers to is when a person puts food onto a pot before Shabbos, and the food continues to cook from Erev Shabbos, from Friday throughout Shabbos. So we're going to discuss the halachas of that, and what could potentially be the issue. So I'm going to start from the beginning just to show where it comes from, but there can't be a real iser midoraisa to do that. Even if your food is totally raw and it's being cooked on Shabbos, nevertheless, there isn't going to be a biblical prohibition to allow that food to cook on Shabbos. And just to start, in source number one, there's a mission in Mesechta Shabbos and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. It continues up to Yudches Amud Aleph. I'm not going to go through all the cases, but you'll see the general theme of the Mishnah is Beis Shammai Omrim, the school of Shammai. The Talmidim of Shammai, they say, Ein Sharon Diyav Samanim V'Karshinim Elakdeshi Sharon V'Vaydiyav. A person cannot soak. This is dye, different herbs, different types of seeds, unless he knows it can soak all the way through and through Mibayim while it's still going to be daytime on Friday. Beisil Matir and Beisil says, no problem. You can soak anything you want on Shabbos, even if ultimately it's going to cook. Again, we have to cook these herbs or these, in order to make the dye, we'd have to cook. Even if it's going to cook on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. You can't put these tongues of flax, linen into the oven. They have to be prepared, completely prepared from during the day. You can't put a wool into a big vat which has dye in it, until it will absorb the ayin, which is the way they talk about the dye. But ultimately, again, we see the theme of this mission is that Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you can't start something on Erev Shabbos if it's going to mean that the melacha is going to continue on Shabbos. And this is the theme of the whole Mishnah. It goes on to in parsim mitzvah chayv oif, you can't put out a trap unless you know that you'll be able to trap the animal before Shabbos. Beis Hillel disagrees. You can't put bread into the oven unless it's going to get across before Shabbos. Beis Hillel disagrees. That's the theme of this whole Mishnah. So the Gemara really tries to figure out what's going on here. What's the problem? Why is Beis Shammai saying that when you start something on Erev Shabbos, it has to complete before Shabbos? Ms. Hill is disagreeing. So if you look in source number two, that's the Gemara. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Again, it's extensive. But I underlined the part where it says, V'lema Mar, let us say, let Mar explain, Mishum Shviyas HaSkelem. The issue over here is the issue of Shviyas HaSkelem. In other words, we know that Shabbos is a prohibition for us, for people. But it also says in the pasuk, "Ata uvincha uvitecha avdecha v'amascha uvemtecha." So it says, "V'gerecha shavasharecha." Yeah, I don't want to make kiddush. I don't want to make kiddush now. I don't want anybody to think we're having challah. Yeah. So basically, the pasuk says that aside from you having to keep Shabbos, you have a chiyuv to make sure your children, your sons, your daughters, your maidservants, your servants, and if those in bemtecha. And your animals. So we know that a person is mechuyev to make sure, not that his animal keeps Shabbos. If you see your animal eating grass out of the ground, you don't have to say, hey, it's Shabbos. But it means that the animal will do malacha for you on Shabbos. Right? A person can't have his animal do malacha for him on Shabbos. So we have this discussion about kelim. A person has kelim. For example, a pot. An oven. Can I have my pot do malacha for me on Shabbos? So the Gemara wants to suggest that's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Shammai says you can't start something from before Shabbos and allow your kelim to finish the malacha for you on Shabbos. Where Beis Hillel disagrees, as the Gemara says, "V'leimah mamar shemeshvias as kelim d'tanya," for it says in the Brisa, "U'bechol asher amarti aleichem tishmayru l'rabbi shemeshvias as kelim." So he has a pasuk that includes shemeshvias as kelim. That includes that your kelim, your property, your possessions cannot do malacha for you on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Oh, Rabbi Yosef, Shmuel, 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 Kelim." The Gemara says, "Yeah, that's true." That indeed is the subject of this Mishnah. It's a discussion between Beis Shammai, the school of Shammai, and the school of Hillel, as to whether or not a person is allowed to have his kelim, his oven, his pots, or any other things we have listed in the Mishnah, do malacha for him on Shabbos. And we'll skip down a couple lines. The next part, where it's underlined, V'hashta the Amr of Oishia, Amr of Asi, man Tana Shvisas Kelim Deiraisa. Who is the Tana? Who is the Tana who's of the opinion that it is a biblical prohibition to have your kelim, have your property do malacha for you on Shabbos? Beis Shammai hi v'loi Beis Hillel. It is the opinion of Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. And therefore, l'Beis Shammai, according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, bein de'kavod ma'isa, bein de'loi kavod ma'isa also, whether or not it means that the Jew is actually committing an act to have the malacha done, the halacha is, it's aser. L'Beis Hillel, according to Beis Hillel, where there's no prohibition of having your kelim do malacha for you, afagav de'kavod ma'isa, even though he did a ma'isa from Erev Shabbos, he set this thing up in a way where the kelim are going to do malacha for you on Shabbos, nevertheless, it's going to be mutter. Welcome, Eli. So we have a clear description of this Mishnah, where we have Beis Shammai is of the opinion a person cannot set up a situation where his kelim, where his possessions, where his property is going to be doing malacha for him on Shabbos, and Beis Hillel is disagreeing. The last part, where it's underlined in source number 2, the Gemara says, Lema Beis Shammai hi v'lo Beis Hillel. This Mishnah, again, will be this Mishnah, it quotes the whole Bryce. Let's leave that out. You know what? Let's go back a couple lines, because a couple lines higher than where I underlined. It says the Tanur Rabbanan, for it says the Rabbanan learned, they taught us lo samali isha kader asasias v'tremisna, a woman or a person. It says woman, but the truth is it doesn't specifically mean a woman. It means anybody. Lo samali isha kader asasias v'tremisna, a person cannot fill up a pot. A woman should not fill up a pot of beans or legumes, but taniach letocha tanur erev Shabbos v'chashecha, and put it into the oven before Shabbos as it's getting dark. V'mnosnan, if they put it there, l'matzoi Shabbos asurim b'kdesh yasu, a person will not allow to benefit from it, and after Shabbos you would have to wait b'kdesh yasu, the amount of time it takes to cook it, before he benefits from this food. Kiyotzebo, similarly, lo yimal inachtam chavis shamayim, a baker cannot fill up a big barrel of water, v'yaneich l'toch hatana, put into the oven, erev Shabbos b'chashech, as it's getting dark, v'masakim l'toch Shabbos asurim b'kdesh yasu. In other words, without getting into all the details, the bottom line is there seems to be a brisa here, a Mishnah that says, if it's too hot, we could lower the thermostat. I don't know, I personally am getting a bit hot here.
We're talking about hot stuff.
Right. If the Mishnah says over here, a person should not fill up a pot with food to cook it, and leave it there a whole Shabbos, and allow it to cook throughout the whole duration of Shabbos. And if you do that, it's usher to benefit from it. You have to wait after Shabbos the amount of time that it took for that food to cook. So clearly, it seems to be, we seem to have a clear Mishnah here that says, if a person fills up a pot on Erev Shabbos and allows it to cook throughout Shabbos, that was wrong, it shouldn't be done. And if it was done, you can't benefit from that food that was cooked until after Shabbos, the amount of time that it takes for that food to be prepared. Now, we have a problem here, because we said, according to Beis Hillel, there's no issue with Shvisas Kelim. That means a person is not obligated to make sure that his possessions keep Shabbos. So what's wrong with having my pot cook something? I didn't do what I did. Whatever I did was an Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, it's in source number 2, where the third section that's underlined, Lema Beis Shammai hi v'lo Beis Hillel. It seems we have a clear Mishnah which goes according to the opinion of Beis Shammai and not according to Beis Hillel. And the Gemara says, no, that's a mistake. Afilu Tema Beis Hillel, that Mishnah could work out according to Beis Hillel. Gezeirah Shem Yechata v'gachalim. There's an Isser Midrabanan to allow food to cook on Shabbos because we are worried that he's going to stoke the coals. He's going to mix up the coals to make the fire bigger. He sees that something needs to be cooked. He looks at the pot of water, and it's freezing cold outside. He wants to have hot water. He's noticing that the fire went down. He's going to go ahead and play around with the coals to make the fire get bigger. It's like, this is what it will cook, and we're worried about that. So let's just be very clear what happens over here. We have a Mishnah. The whole theme of this Mishnah is that Beis Shammai says you can't start things on Erev Shabbos, which is going to mean that you're going to go through a bishul, a cooking, or whatever other melacha it is on Shabbos. You can't do things on Erev Shabbos which are going to create a situation where on Shabbos a melacha will happen even if you're not doing it. Beis Hillel disagrees and says it's no problem. Whatever you did in Erev Shabbos was Erev Shabbos, was before Shabbos. Whatever happens on Shabbos happens on its own. There's no problem of having your kalim, of having your possessions do a melacha for you on Shabbos. So that is the Mishnah. The Gemara explains the subject of this machlekes is whether or not there's an issue of shvisas kalim, whether a person, just like a person's animal, can't do malacha for him on Shabbos. There is room to say that maybe a person's pot can't do something for him on Shabbos either. And on that we say that's a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says problem, Beis Hillel says no problem. We have a Mishnah which seems to align with Beis Shammai. The Gemara dismisses it and says no. That Mishnah is not Beis Shammai, there is an Issur Midrabanan. So now what we just learned here is that even if it's mutter for a person to put a pot on the fire before Shabbos with raw food in it, nevertheless, there can be an Issur Midrabanan of having that pot sit on a fire on Shabbos. Why? Because he's going to look at that pot and think about the food that's inside the pot, and he's going to say, hold on, the food's not getting ready. I need to eat this food. So what am I going to do? I'm going to stoke the coals. I will stoke the fire like this. It will get bigger. And it's going to cook. That is a bona fide Issur Midaraisa of Havara. He is creating a fire. He's making the fire bigger. So again, Midaraisa, it's mutter, according to Beis Hillel, to leave a pot on a fire from before Shabbos. Midrabanan, there's potentially an Issur. The whole issue of Shehiya that we're going to be discussing is based on this. In other words, what we're going to be working through, we're going to work through a lot of details, because there are going to be a lot of details that are going to determine whether you're allowed to leave a pot on a fire, under what conditions you can leave it on a fire, what type of food, what type of fire, what will help to stop the Isser, is all going to be based on this. We paskin like Beis Hillel. And just to go further, if you look in source number 3, to show who we paskin like, source number 3, it's in Shulchan Aruch. In Simen Reish Mem Vav Sif Aleph, it says, Mutter, Lahashil Ulahaskir Kalev Lein Yehudi. A person is allowed to lend or rent his possessions to a non-Jew on Shabbos. V'yafal Pishu Oysa Behem Malach B'Shabbos. Even though the non-Jew is doing Malach with them on Shabbos. Why? B'pnei She'en Anu Mitzvah on Shvisas Kalev. We are not commanded to make sure that our Kalev keep Shabbos. Another source, in Shulchan Aruch, and the Yeah, so let's give the Mishnah Berurah. It basically explains what we're saying.
So this whole discussion is based on the Rabbanan of Beis Hillel, but Beis Shammai is Paskan,
right, I'm sure, right, exactly. But I'm showing you right now in Shulchan Aruch, we don't Paskan Beis Shammai. In source number 5 as well, it's in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish and Beis Sif Hei. Umotra liftoyach mayim legina. A person can open up the spout and allow water to flow into his garden. Veheinim shachim. Vahalchim b'chol Shabbos. They will flow the entire Shabbos. Ulaniach kilar. And Rashi explains that that's a medicine he puts on his eye. When the Akira Ava al Ayin, a person allowed to put this medicine on his eye, Afa Pish Asanich Shabbos, even though it would be forbidden to put this medication on Shabbos, nevertheless, he could put it on before Shabbos. Velasis Mugmar Tachmas Akain, he could put some type of spice which makes his clothing smell good. He could put that under his Kalim. Behemis Gamar Me'alem Chal Shabbos, they'll create an aroma which will make the clothing smell good. The afilu mugmer munach bekeli. Why the ena de mitzvah shvisas kelim? We paskin a person is not commanded to make sure that his possessions keep Shabbos. Therefore, a person's allowed to set something up in Erev Shabbos where it's going to cook. So, therefore, by the strict letter of the law, a person can take a raw piece of meat 10 minutes before Shabbos, put it into a pot, and throw it into the oven, and then close the oven door, and then take it out the next morning, even though it's certainly cooked the entire Shabbos, because there's nothing wrong with your oven cooking on Shabbos. There's something wrong with you cooking on Shabbos. Now, whether or not that's going to be mutter, lemaisa, we're going to have to discuss all the cases, because ultimately what the discussion over here has to be is whether or not we're worried that you'll raise the flame. And we're going to have to draw a lot of parallels from our modern-day appliances to what was simply a pile of coals with some metal pot sitting on top. Or, the truth is, we're going to see that there are three different types of ovens that were dealt with, and exactly how hot the oven is, what the chashash is, what we'd be worried about, and how we compare that to our ovens nowadays. We're not going to be able to get through all that tonight, but I want to lay the foundation tonight, like this, to be able to at least be prepared to move through that either next week or the following week. Okay, now we continue. That's the introduction to the introduction of tonight's shiur. Okay, so we know there's nothing wrong with a person having his kelim do malacha for him on Shabbos. The only problem is the fact that he has this situation present. He has food cooking, which may or may not be ready to be eaten when he wants it. Are we worried that he'll raise the flame? Okay, let's continue in source number 6. This is a Mishnah in Parak Kira. It's in the third parak of Masechta Shabbos. It starts as follows. Kira. You have a kira. So just to give a basic introduction. We're going to deal with three types of ovens. The first one we deal with is a kira. If you look at the Rashi in source number 7, asuyuk and kedera, it looks like a pot. You put a pot inside it. Basically, this was a box. It was a box that was either made out of stone or made out of bricks or out of cement. It was a box. And they had an open space inside, and on top they had two holes. I'm sure that some of the art scrolls or some of the svarim will have a picture of it. Basically, it looks like a box. There's a place inside to put a lot of coals, and on top you'll have two holes, and that's where you'll rest your pot. So in the bottom you have all your coals. On the top you're going to have basically a board on the top with holes in it. That's where you'll leave your pots. That's called the kira. There's another thing called a kupach. A kupach is the exact same thing. The only difference is it's half the size. It only has one hole on the top. What's the difference? It's going to be hotter. Since it's smaller, there's only one hole on the top. There's only one place for the heat to escape. So the heat has less place to escape from, so therefore it's hotter. The third category is going to be called a tanner. A tanner is something which is shaped where it's wide on the bottom and gets narrow at the top. That is the hottest oven. Simply because you'll have coals all along the bottom, and all the heat is concentrated to one place.
The first two are like stovetops.
They're all like stovetops. Even the tanner has a hole on the top.
Okay.
Now, you could either put things inside or on top. Okay, we're going to have to discuss the relevance of all these different types of ovens in the time of the Gemara, and then, try to draw parallels to a crock pot or to an oven or to a warming draw or whatever it might be. So this is a very ambiguous mission. It says, Kir shisikua bekashu gvava. You have an oven which was heated up with kashu gvava. Kashu gvava is straw. It's basically straw. And noisin ala tafshel. You're allowed to put food on top of it. When? Doesn't say. Mission just says, you're allowed to put food on top of it. Begefes ve'etzim. If it's heated up with, gefes is the leftovers from olives after they turned it into oil, they'd have the sediment that was left over, they would burn that. And eitzim is wood, so it's a stronger type of material. The difference between kash ugvava, straw, and the second category, which is gefes and eitzim, is that gefes ve'eitzim, wood, leaves behind coals. As it burns, the wood's going to get burnt, but it leaves behind coals. So there's what to stoke. Kashu gvava, it's straw. It lights up, catches fire, but after it burns up, it's gone. So there really isn't much to stoke afterwards. The gefes ve'etzim, if you heated up your oven, you kindled your oven with wood or with the leftover of the olives. Rashi actually says pesos shum shum and sesame seeds. I'm not sure where I got olives from. I'm pretty sure it says olives, so I'm going to have to check it out. But ultimately, the bottom line is, it leaves behind a coal. Halach is lo yitain at shigar. If you can't put a pot onto it until you do grufa. What does grufa mean? You have to take out the coals. You can't put any food on top of this oven until you take out the coals. Or, oy at shigitain a sefer, or the other option is, you could spread ash on top of the coals. which is going to prevent him. We'll see exactly what the significance of it is, but ultimately either it serves as a hecker or it diminishes the heat. Okay, let's stop over here. Right now we have a very ambiguous Mishnah. A Mishnah that says if you have an oven that is heated up with something which creates a coal, you cannot put a pot on top of it unless you do either grufa, taking out the coals, or ketuma, covering over the coals with ash. It doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah when we're talking about. When can't I put a pot there? Does it mean I can't put a pot there before Shabbos and allow it to stay there all Shabbos? Or does it mean I can't put a pot back on there on Shabbos? What would be an example? You have a pot of soup that was cooking from before Shabbos. You took off the soup. It's still hot. We established in previous weeks that a chicken soup, which is still hot, is no problem of bishul. It was nispashel. It's a davar lach. It's loin. It's stanein. It didn't cool down. It's still hot. You're allowed to reheat it. So maybe when the Mishnah says lo yitein, it's talking about on Shabbos. Unclear. It doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah what it's talking about. This ends up being the subject of a major machlekes in the Gemara. It takes a whole blot and a half to solve this case. We're not going to go through that, but we're going to give a couple sound bites or snippets of the Gemara just to bring out that point. The Gemara starts in source number 8. Ibayalahu. The Gemara asks the question. Haila yitein. It says in the Mishnah, don't put it. What does that mean? Lo yachzirhu? When it says in the Mishnah, you can't put a pot on this oven, what is it talking about? Does it mean you can't return a pot to this oven unless you do grufa uktuma? And that would mean, well, you can leave a pot there from before Shabbos, and that would align with the shita of Chananya. Why? Who's Chananya? The Tanya, for we learned in the Braisa. Chananya, Oymer Koshu Kamaycha Ben Drusai. Any food which reached either a third or a half cooked from before Shabbos, Mutra Lahashe Sagabikir, you could leave it on top of an oven. Afalpi, Sheena Garif Eina Katim. Even though the oven does not, even though the oven still has live coals in it. Right? Dilma, maybe, no, maybe we're misreading the Mishnah. Lahashe Tanan, the Garif Ekatim in. So let's get this straight, because the Gemara doesn't speak so clearly. And I wrote it down, I just indented a little bit so you should realize that that's my own personal words there. It's not the Gemara, but I wanted just to bring this point out clearly. Chananya is of the opinion as follows. Chananya says, Atav shoshim espashal kamaychal ben drusai, a food which was cooked, kamaychal ben drusai, we explained in the previous weeks, ben drusai was this person who was a thief. He's always on the run. He was always eating his food at the bare minimum amount that was cooked because he just didn't have enough time to stay put. So it's a discussion in the Rishayna whether it means it was a third cooked or a half cooked. Let's assume for the sake of today's discussion, it's a half cooked. Okay? So Chanani is of the opinion, once your food is cooked halfway, you can put the food onto the oven, onto the stove before Shabbos, allow it to stay there the entire Shabbos without doing anything. Without doing anything. You know why? Because it's edible. Once your food is edible, we're not worried that you're going to do anything which will violate one of the malachas on Shabbos. It's just not worth it. You know, if your food is raw, sometimes you have guests in the house, your food is raw, you lose your mind, you don't want to bring out chicken that's red or pink inside, so you know you'll do something rash without giving it enough thought, you'll raise the flame. That's if it's raw. But if it's cooked to the point where it's edible, people don't lose their minds. All right, it's not perfect. It's not exactly the way I want it to be. So it says Chananya, once your food reaches that point, let's call it a half for the sake of today's discussion. Once your food is halfway cooked, you can leave it on from before Shabbos because it has enough time. You're not going to be bahul. You're not going to be all confused. You're not going to violate the Shabbos. We're not worried about anything. The Chachamim, they disagree. The Chachamim are of the opinion, they say, only rak tashash and espashal kol tzarchai mutter lahashash b'lo grufa k'tuma. The only food you can leave on your fire from before Shabbos is food which is cooked 100%. Now I want to just make a point. As far as I'm concerned, this opinion of the Chachamim doesn't appear anywhere. We don't know that this opinion of the Chachamim appear anywhere. But what we're alleging is that maybe this Mishnah that we just read earlier, that is the opinion of the Chachamim. In other words, we have this opinion of Hananya, where Hananya says, once the food is halfway cooked, we're not worried that you're going to do anything to make the food get ready quicker. That's the opinion of Hananya. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah is not clear what it's talking about. We don't know what's going on here in the Mishnah. Is the Mishnah aligning with Hananya? Or is it not aligning with Hananya? If it's aligning with Hananya, then everything's good. And the truth is, we really won't have an opinion of the Chachamim. If the Mishnah is not aligning with Hananya, if the Mishnah is saying something different, then we'll have an opinion different than Hananya. What time is it? Gavi, have a watch?
It's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Time went by very quick. All right, if we'll continue another for another few minutes. If we get a minion, we'll stop. Okay? Now, the bottom line is, we end up having a major machlekes here in the Gemara, what this Mishnah means. Is this Mishnah aligning with Hananya, and therefore any food which is a third cooked can be left on a fire from before Shabbos? Practical case. You have a chalent. You put your chalent up in the afternoon. You woke up late. I know you didn't realize we changed the clock. You didn't realize the Shabbos was early. And you came home after work and you said, oh my gosh, we've got to make the chalent. You realized that there's only an hour to Shabbos. You put the chalent on. It's really only cooked about halfway there. It's really not cooked that much. According to Hananya, it's not a problem. Leave it on there. What are we worried about? And that chalent happens to be, has other reasons why it could be mutter because it's for tomorrow, but we'll discuss all those different variables. But ultimately, even if it's for tonight, according to Hananya, it's not a problem. The chalent is halfway cooked, it's edible as it is. You're right, it's not the way you want it. That's fine. According to the Chachamim, you would not be able to leave it unless you do Grufa Ketuma. We'll explain how to do that. I think we're going to have to skip a lot of the next sources just because I really was putting together a compilation of the different Amiraim in the Gemara. Ultimately, what we end up with is we'll dive in Marav as soon as we have a minion. What we end up with over here is a machlekes in the Gemara, what the halacha is. Rava brought a Mishnah which seemed to align with the opinion of Hananya, so it seems like we'll be Meiko. But at the end of the Gemara, Rav Nachman and Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, said differently. So again, without getting into too many details, we have a Machlekes Amiroyim, what the halach is. We have a Machlekes Amiroyim, if we can be Meiko like Hananya or not. What happens? Naturally, we end up with a major Machlekes Rishayim about this. Source number 14 and 15, Rashi and Tosfos both paskin like Hananya. I underlined it in source number 14. V'anan de mashinan kedera gabe kira she'en grufa ad Hananya samchinan. Says Rashi, we leave a pot on the fire without covering the flame. You know why? We rely on the opinion of Hananya. That's Rashi. Rashi says clearly we rely on the opinion of Hananya. Tosfos says, well, Pasak ben Hananel, the halacha of Sheshes, Amr Biyachin, the Amr Tavau, Tanini, severely, Kavasa, Yechem Pasak Rashi. Tosfos as well says we pass like Hananya. Balamar, source number 16, he writes in very strong terms. Ulinian, Pirusha Demas Nisan, Upas Upsak halacha, Havi Idea. No. Kikala Gainim, Shahayu Mina Oilam, Kulam, Hiskimu Demas Nisan, Lahakzir Tanan, Avalashes, Mashina, Numano Hananya. Everybody. There is absolutely no opinion anywhere that holds that this Mishnah is being machmer. Rather, this Mishnah is being meko. We pass like Hananya. As long as the food started to cook, it got to the point of a third or a half, you can leave it on. And just the last part is a very juicy part. It's worth reading it. Mekol harayis shehevia rifzal ledvarav lemidchilid Hananya uleukmi lasisa belashayis ein bay mafilu raya achas sheishla yadayim raglayim. Says the Baal Amar, there is absolutely no raya, no compelling raya at all to be machmir. This Mishnah is being makel, like the opinion of Hananya. Therefore, once the food reaches the point where it's halfway cooked, you can leave it there.
So, despite the fact that Hananya is a single voice,
But again, I said, we don't have a clear source where the Chachamim argue. The only source where the Chachamim would argue is if this Mishnah means, where it says Layitain. The words Layitain mean Lay, Layasha. Okay? But we don't know that. Okay? So again, but I just want to point out, the Rith. He quotes the opinion of Chananya, he quotes the Sheshes and Rechran, Les El Chesakavase. Okay? And we saw that the Balaam already printed this. He tried to bring Rayas. I underlined it. We're not going to go through it right now. The Rambam, as well. Source number 18, in Halacha Dalet. Parak Gimel, it's in Parak Gimel of Hilcha Shabbos, Halacha Dalet. Ketzad, Tavshol Shlei Bishol Kol Tzarech, V'chama Shluchim Kol Tzarechon. Clearly he says Kol Tzarechon. You have a minion yet? We need one more, right? When Eliyahu Navi comes, we'll stop the shir. The Rambam... The Rambam is of the opinion, look at this, Tausha Shalai Bishal Kol Tzarchai, needs to be cooked 100%. Mechamet Shalai Huchaman Huchamu Kol Tzarchan. Tausha Shalai Bishal Kol Tzarchai. Mechaz Ma'an Shemit Stam Kviyafalai. We didn't get into Mitzvah Kviyafalai. Remember, I know, you're going to ask me about what Kol Tzarchai means, right?
No, I was going to ask you if it falls within line in Bishal Achar Bishal.
Right, exactly. The Drisha there explained Kol Tzarchai doesn't mean that, but that's not the simple understanding of the Rambam. The Rambam is clearly quoting the Gemara, and he says it's a problem unless it's cooked 100%. The Rambam and the Rif are both machmir. Now here comes a great line from the Rush. The Rush in source number 19. Ubishvil, Sharabu Deis Bahai Piska. There are lots of opinions on this psak. V'yisrael adukim b'mitzvahs oinik Shabbos. Jews, they're really connected to mitzvahs oinik Shabbos. V'lo yishmu lahachmir. They're just not going to listen to us to be machmir. Hanach lehem, leave them alone. Since the Jews love Shabbos so much, they want their chalent, their mekel like Chananya, they want it to be cooked right, they don't want it to be burnt, they don't want it to be dried out, they want it to be cooked the right way, leave the Jews alone. Let them rely on Chananya.
Even though the Rush says,
that's what the Rush seems to say.
You're basically implying he also agrees with the Rambam on the Rif.
Now that's the last two sources I want to quote to you. Okay, we're gonna have to skip number 20, which is the longest. Number 20, we'll have to get back to this next week. But just look at the last two sources: the Bir Halacha and the Chazanish. The Bir Halacha and the Chazanish have a dispute. What does the Rush mean? Look at source number 22. Mashma mizeh, he quotes the Rush. Derak mishum zeh loy rotzel limchais. Just because they'll give us a hard time, he didn't want to be the one to protest against those who are being mekel. The chena beisrais of gufu mashetik derishon of istam avadeish niyav b'shem yishayim remash megamki taitan nitalachmer ach mikol makayim aim banu karach limchais b'mikilim. We just can't fight the Jewish people. They're already mekel. They're already making. You start throwing chumras at them, they're not going to listen to us. And therefore, shakar nagu ha'am kiyesh ayimrim. Everyone passing like the second opinion. We'll get to what the second opinion is next week. The Mishnah Brura says it's better. At the end of the day, ultimately, we don't want to mess with City Hall. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, let's be honest. The Rosh didn't want us to be machmer. He didn't want us to be mekel. He just didn't want to be the one to raise an issue about it. So really, you should be machmer. Says the Chazanish, Mishnah Brura, you got it wrong. Source number 23. You misunderstood the words of Hanach Lehem. In other words, you have to have a little bit of introduction. The Hanach Lehem is the beginning of it. It's an expression. Sometimes it means, leave them alone. It's better that they'll do it b'shoygin. Let them do it by mistake instead of them doing it intentionally wrong. In other words, we're better not making a macha because now they're a shaygig. Now they're doing it unintentionally. But if we make a macha and tell them they're doing the wrong thing, then they'll turn into a mezid. Says the Chazanish, Mishnah Brura, you missed it. That's not what the Rosh meant. Ein kavanas Rosh Mishnah mutav shiu shaygin al kavanas leizal. Kiven the machmirim heim gedoyli oylam. Kamei ashiltus varifa oid. Hayoroi lahach mer shloili kanas leplukta. Aval. In other words, the truth is there are some really big paiskim who are machmir. So the truth is we shouldn't have gotten involved in this machlekes to be mekel. Since getting involved in this machlekes of being machmir would ruin our oinik Shabbos, You won't listen to me. Machmer, el kosh efshir lahakol. Rather, the best thing to do is kosh efshir lahakol meikra din yomer lahakol. When lamaisa the halacha is that it's mutter, we are preferring to go to the side of kula. Umeikra din efshir lamekim lahakol meikra din. It is the real, raw, strict letter of the law that we should be meko. Achrei shehem ibnei b'neim shal elu shikil al piro hiras rabbeinu. He says the truth over here is meikaratin. We have clear rishonim who are meikal. So lahalacha, the strict letter of the laws, we could be meikal. We have some very, very big paiskim who are machmer. So the truth is, when we have these situations where there's no clear direction where to go, we'd rather be machmer because we're not clear about it. But here, in this case, being machmer ruins the Shabbos. So what we should do is we should try to be meikal. And Hanachlehem, leave them alone. They're in good company. For years, the minhag has been like this to be mekel. So no, the proper thing to do is, the Ikar Adin is that it's mutter. The best thing to do, says the Chazon Ish, is to be mekel, because that is the Ikar Adin. So we have a clear machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. What's the best thing to do? The Chazon Ish says, be mekel, because that's the halacha. Don't go ahead and be machmir because there are other opinions. We have a minhag. We should be Mekel, that's what you should do. Mishnah Berurah says, we'll only be Mekel because we don't want to start up with the Jewish people. That's what they've been doing. But the truth is, if you're able to be Machmer, be Machmer. We will continue with this, Yemirtzah Hashem, next week.